The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It is Tuesday. We are ready for the Sharks to get back at home, and I'm excited to see the Sharks on home ice. It has been a bit since we've been able to do that, so you know what? Now the Sharks have got a couple wins under their belt, and things are trending in the right direction. So here's what we know about today in terms of what is going on. Patrick Giles has been recalled from the San Jose Barracuda. Nick Leddy has been placed on IR, so that's not good. We've also learned that Gaudette is more of a day-to-day situation. Also, per Shang Pang, Ryan Warsawski says that Shakir Mukhmudulin is close. He got through the full practice today. They're going to evaluate him, so we'll see where that leads to. And we do see that Askarov is getting the start. Klingberg and Skinner are in. Briorio and Gaudette. Misa and Dickinson are going to be in the lineup tonight. So I think this is really, really exciting. I think this is really, really fun. And for the San Jose Sharks, the pressure is off. That's the biggest part about this. They have now found themselves in a situation where they've won 2 out of 3 after losing their first 6, or going 0-4-2, however you want to define it. But everything, the pressure's been let out of the pot, for lack of a better term. Everyone is able to take a breath, relax, focus on their game. And also the entirety of the NHL is looking at the San Jose Sharks and saying, uh-oh, if this team figures out how to defend, they are going to be a real problem. Because I tell you guys, for the most part, offense has not been a problem. Yes, they only had one goal on the second night of that back-to-back against the Devils. They got shut out by the Pens. But for the most part, they have not had much trouble scoring goals. And I'm excited to see what they do against a Kings team tonight that is still trying to find their way, has had some trouble on the penalty kill, is still figuring things out. They're not off and running, you know, just absolutely amazing like they were last year, where they were barely giving up any goals. And for San Jose, you know, I think this shows growth if they can come back with momentum from the road trip after winning 2 out of the 4 games and playing well in every single game and not having any game where they really looked particularly bad or anything like that. So, you know, this is a big opportunity for the Sharks, and I'm excited to see what they do next. But now let's bring in our good friend Daryl Evans, longtime color commentator for the LA Kings. Daryl, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
All is great. You know, just winding up a 5-game road trip tonight here in San Jose, and looking forward to, you know, wrapping it up on a high note. It's been a good trip for the Kings, but it's great traveling at this time of year. You know, you see the fall season, the trees changing colors and things like that. So I always enjoy traveling at this time of year.
Let me ask you, you know, a lot of the sports world this morning is talking about that 18-inning World Series game last night. And I know you played in some long, long NHL games. I'm just curious, when you're in a long, long game like that, when it's multiple overtimes, when it's the playoffs, is the mental aspect of it harder than the physical?
Probably. I think, you know, I think for, you know, sometimes, you know, it's tough to stay in the moment. I think a lot of times, you know, I'll just use baseball for right now, and I guess it could be hockey or anything like that. But everybody's, you know, they're trying to, you know, everybody wants to become the hero. They want to get the winning hit, you know. And in that case last night, everybody's swinging for the fence. And I think that's why we didn't see a lot of hits, you know, in those last number of innings. But the pitching was outstanding. I mean, you know, the entertainment, but it's definitely a mental drain, you know, because you're sitting there, you play for so long, and, you know, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. And, you know, less than 24 hours later, you're playing against each other again. So it's there's a little bit of a mental hurdle there. But I think a lot of those guys, you know, on both sides have, you know, guys that have been in moments similar to that, that they can draw off the strength of that, help the guys that haven't been there. I think it was evident in, you know, the young pitchers for, you know, for both sides that hadn't had a lot of experience. You look how much they carried on their adrenaline and how far they went, a lot further than expected by their respective teams.
Yeah, I mean, I have obviously, you know, your greatest background is hockey, but are you a fan of all sports? Have you become a Dodgers or a Lakers or Clippers fan over the years just because of your association with L.A.?
Well, you know, always, you know, the teams in L.A., I always keep a close eye on them. I like following a lot of different sports. But I got to be honest, being from Toronto last night, a little bit of a soft spot for the Blue Jays. So they're still the hometown boys, but I was hoping for a heck of a series, and so far we've seen that, and I don't expect it to change too much. As we're just about halfway through it, but LA fans, I mean, they've got a great tradition of winning teams in all sports, and it's hard not to jump on a bandwagon there. That the way they support their teams, so it's a lot of fun. They've got a great community that provides a lot of energy for the teams in the respective sports. And I know when the Kings were marching through the playoffs and having their best days, that the fan support was incredible. And it seems like across the different sports, those fans they'll come across and they'll jump and they'll support their team. They take a lot of pride within their own city.
You just got to see Connor Bedard in Chicago in a nice win for the Kings. Just your thoughts on him. Obviously, so much pressure on him, which I think is, it's always ridiculous when people try to judge a player when they're barely at the start of their career. This is just the start of year number three for him, but he obviously scored a goal. And then, what you've seen, from the Kings as of late, who are probably not off to the start that they would hope to have had through 10 games. But, at this point, I try not to judge any team too much through the first 10 games. I don't think, much as it would be unfair to judge Connor Bedard early in his career, I don't think the Kings are what they will be in March, as they are today.
Yeah, I think when you look at Bedard in Chicago, I think the Blackhawks are a different team than they were last year. Talking to the personnel around there, they just have a whole different outlook on things. There's a little bit more confidence within their group. Getting off to a great start really helps things out there. Nazar's a heck of a player. I think he's really added quite an element to that team, taking a little bit of the attention away from Bedard. Bedard's a great talent. There's no doubt about it. I think as he learns the league and the Blackhawks continue to acquire and develop players that will help support him, that team will only get better. When you look at the Kings game, they've had a very difficult schedule. You look at the opening 2 nights, they played at home against Colorado, and then 24 hours later, they were in Vegas. The league had played 7 games, and the Kings were involved in two of them. And I think they fared pretty well, maybe not playing at the top of their game right now. But I think being over 500 at this time is not a bad place for them to be in. They've been on the road quite a bit. They haven't been able to get that mojo going at home like they had last season, where they set a franchise record for most wins on home ice. So hopefully that stuff all works itself out. But there's been changes to the Kings lineup. I think the players that they added in the offseason, I think Ken Holland did a great job bringing in veterans on the blue line, and Dumoulin and CeCe. Corey Perry's fitting in really well. He just started to play with the team on this road trip. He's got a couple of goals so far. Joel Armia has been a real solid fit. And Forsberg and Nett, the two opportunities that he's played on the road, he's found a way to go out and get wins. So they're finding their way a little bit. They've got to stay out of the penalty box. They're definitely taking way too many penalties, which puts a lot more wear and tear on the entire team. And it keeps guys that are in an offensive role off the ice a lot. So they got to get that straightened out, and then move forward from there.
How was it watching Perry put on a King sweater?
That was a little different. There's no doubt about it. We have some good conversation with him, talking about, when we asked him scoring his first goal for the Kings, and he goes, "Yeah," he goes, "I won't lie to you." He goes, "It felt a little weird, but as we've told our fan base, everybody was saying, how do you go and get Corey Perry?" And the way I look at it, and even from a player's perspective, and they've said it, a number of guys have, he's one of those guys you hate to play against, but you love him when he's on your team. He's very predictable. He brings an element that the Kings were lacking in their lineup. And I think, as the season goes on, when it comes down to crunch time, hopefully into the postseason and things, that everybody will see the worth of Corey Perry, because he's a gamer. He hasn't changed his game in all the years that he's played. And he's drawn the guys into the battle. So he's been a great addition for this team, both on and off the ice.
Adrian Kempe is also off to a phenomenal start. 5 goals, 8 assists. What are you seeing in his game?
Just a lot more of what we've seen in the past. He's a phenomenal hockey player, one of very few guys in the league that can play all five positions outside of the goal. forward, defense, center, every situation, power play, penalty kill. He's such a well-rounded player. A lot of speed in his game, good shot. He's the driving force for the Kings right now, leading the way offensively. And, he's dialed in. This is a big year for him. It's a contract year for him. And I'm not saying that that's a distraction to him, but he's been very consistent over the last few years, and he's well on his way to having another heck of a year.
What are you seeing from the D-Core right now?
Well, the D-Core is a lot bigger and heavier than it was in the past. I think they've added some size and some experience. Dumoulin with a couple of cups. Cody Ceci with all the playoff experience that he's had the last few years. Edmondson came last year, cup winner with the Blues. And then the development of Mikey Anderson. Now, Brandt Clark seems to have found another level in his game. And, of course, Drew Doughty's back in his old form. Last year when he came back, it was tough on him. He got himself ready for the Four Nations Cup. And I think the rest of the way, he was never 100%. I think he was laboring. But this offseason, I give him a lot of credit the way he rehabbed himself, got himself in top shape. And I think that's what we're seeing on the ice right now. He's back to his old self, leading the way back there, eating up a lot of minutes, and defending very well against the opposition's tough players. So a great addition back there. I think there's more depth, more size, and more length in the Kings back in a blue line.
What do you think the Kings need to do to kind of take the next step this year to kind of get things rolling more to, the defensive work that we saw last year and maybe just the overall, win-loss ratio?
Well, I think when you look at it, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, is with the penalty kill, way too many penalties. They've given up too many power play goals against. I mean, when you're giving up over a goal a game on a penalty kill, you make it very tough on your team. So I think if they clean that area up, you're going to see things change quite a bit. I think with the new guys coming in, the three or four or five guys that there are, they're starting to now absorb the systems. The Kings haven't had a lot of practice time, but that'll all get settled in. I think the big thing is to try to, play a 60-minute game. And of course, it's not easy because the opposition's trying to get on top of their game. So Kings haven't had a lot of practice time, no excuse, but it's just the attention to detail. Rising to the big moments when they're there. Like if you look at the Kings record, where it's at, a lot of games, they've been to overtime already six times this season. And there's a lot of those games that they had opportunities to win those games. So even if you split, a couple of more of those games, you pick up two more points, they're sitting on top of the division. So it's that fine of line with the parity in the National Hockey League. The Kings have to find a way with the veteran leadership they have in this group. They need to right the ship, and they need to come out on the right side of those games more often than not.
You talk about taking too many penalties, but I feel like that's the case for almost every team in the NHL right now. And I know the league wants open play. They want goals. They want highlights. Is it still for, I think, a lot of the teams in the NHL, they're kind of adjusting to how, the game is being officiated right now?
Yeah, I think, every year at the beginning of the season, the referees, they're trying to crack down and, they want to get away from all the stick infractions and things like that. And that's what we're seeing, a lot of penalties, hooking, slashing, high sticking, that kind of stuff. So the players need to be, excuse me, need to be responsible for their sticks. I think as the season goes on, gets down to playoff time, they don't officiate it as closely. I'm not saying they're letting things go, but I think by that time, they've established a kind of a set of boundaries as to, what you can, what you cannot get away with. So players are still feeling it out a little bit right now. And as long as they're consistent, I think that's what every team asks for. As long as you're consistent from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, don't call a penalty in the first minute that you wouldn't call in the last minute and in the middle of the game. Just call it consistently. The players will make the adjustments, and then we'll go from there. But it's fun to watch. I mean, there's so much skill in this league right now. We're seeing goals up, and of course on the power play, when you've got the extra space out there, that's where these players thrive, and that's where they're at their greatest. So it's tough out there. I feel sorry for the guys defending because it's the speed of the game right now is at such a level that it makes it very difficult to get in the way without kind of committing an infraction. So it's a challenge.
Yeah, Tom Reed was joking about that the other day when I chatted with him. He was saying, yeah, they used to let me get away with a lot more than they're doing today. So I enjoyed his commentary, and I'm sure you've known Tom for a long time.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I'm curious. The Sharks have won two out of their last three games, and that was after going 0-4-2. Does it matter that they've both been wild overtime 6-5 wins, or is it just a matter of getting those wins out of the way that you really shouldn't even be critical. Just a W, 2 points when all is said and done should be the main goal.
Yeah, I think right now for, you know, for every team, it's get a W. You'll talk about how you got that W later and clean up the things that you think you need to clean up. But finding a way is half the battle. And that's what, you know, what good teams will do. They'll find a way. Some nights you're not going to have your best game, but you find a way to get, you know, a point or maybe the extra point. And I think with San Jose now, when you look at guys like Celebrini and that, he's a difference maker in a game. He can change things. So they've got that element. Whereas in the past, maybe they were lacking that, that, you know, you get into a game, you go, okay, well, probably going to be tough for us to find, you know, to an area to be able to get a goal. But I think he gives you that in so many different ways, not only on his own individual ability, but what he can do to complement the players around him. So he's a difference maker. It's definitely going to boost their confidence, and the Kings are going to be aware of that. You know, again, these two teams have had a lot of battles over the years, and I know the, you know, the cast of characters has changed over the years, but I still think there's that rivalry that will always exist, and it's only going to heat up more now as the Sharks get to that next stage in the rebuild.
Obviously, the Sharks are, you know, everybody's talking about the young talent. That is, you know, obvious. But what I'm looking at more is how do they defend better as a team? Because the offense isn't the problem. You've watched the highlights, but they're just giving up way too many goals. And even in the last game, I don't think there's one even that you could specifically blame on Askarov. It just seems like, you know, like you alluded to, taking a lot of penalties, but also it just seems like there's some leaky D going on. How does a team fix that?
Yeah, I think, you know, with a lot of young players and, you know, the skill set that they bring, you know, these kids have been in junior hockey or college hockey, and I think it's almost like they have a mentality that they can outscore their mistakes. But when you get to the National Hockey League, unfortunately, that's not the case. So there's a bit of a learning curve there. I think what will benefit, you know, the Sharks as a young team, guys like Tyler Toffoli, that, you know, he's an offensive player, but he's also been to the, you know, the Stanley Cup and won the Stanley Cup. And he knows what it takes. He knows what he had to do, the adjustments that he had to make in his game. So you're hoping that some of that rubs off on some of these young guys. And, you know, it takes a period of time. But I think at the end of the day, the young guys that come into this league, you know, and even guys that, you know, aren't necessarily scorers in the National Hockey League, they scored at a higher level in junior and college, but they have to accept a role when they get here. So I think it's the understanding of your role. The coaches have to make it real clear what they need from you. And you have to reward the guys for, you know, for the time that they put in. You don't take a guy that maybe has, you know, been known as a goal scorer, and then you say, okay, we need you to check tight. And then all of a sudden he goes a month without scoring. You say, you know, you haven't scored in a month. You know, and he might be plus three. He hasn't given up any goals against. So you have to reward him for the things that you're asking him to do. And, you know, collectively, there's a little bit of give and take on both sides from the coach's standpoint and the player standpoint. But at the end of the day, you hope you've got a player that becomes a student of the game, that is willing to do the things for ultimately what you're looking for. And that's for the team success at the end of the night.
Daryl, I know you've got to go, so I will let you get to it. But I look forward to seeing you at the tank tonight. You have a good one, okay?
All right. Have a great day, and I'll see you tonight.
Again, that is Daryl Evans, longtime color commentator for the LA Kings. We always appreciate his insights ahead of every matchup between the Sharks and the Kings. And one of the things that he alluded to early on was the idea of the Sharks and the Kings kind of getting that rivalry going again. And that is obviously predicated upon the Sharks being able to step in the right direction and winning more games. It comes down to that. It's not about the how or whatever way it takes you to do it. If you walk away with 2 points when all is said and done, I think that's the first barrier you're trying to get beyond. And if the Sharks have the opportunity to do that again tonight, it'd be great to see him do it in front of a home crowd, right? Like those first two games of the year against Vegas and against Anaheim, that was rough. Those were two very, very difficult games that I know everybody was shocked with the outcome. But now everyone has the opportunity to kind of reset themselves, get back on home ice with a new lease on life in some ways, and be able just to play their game. And I know that's something that we kind of say a little bit repetitively, but I do think a big part of success in the National Hockey League is just being able to play your game, not worry about the outside chatter, not worry about what happens in any given moment with the weight of six consecutive losses on your shoulder. You know, that's something the Sharks will have to look forward to when they come into this game. They know they will have won 2 out of 3. They know they've got the opportunity to win a game tonight against the Kings team, which is good. Don't get me wrong. I think the Kings are very good, and it would not be surprising to me if they made a deep run in the playoffs this year. But they're also not yet that team. And the Sharks are not yet who they want to be this year, although they are hopefully, and I think, trending in the right direction. So we should have a good one tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing what exactly happens between these two teams. Obviously looking forward to seeing what happens next for Macklin Celebrini, and Michael Misa, and Sam Dickinson, and Colin Graf, and all these young guys. It's fun every time you turn on the Sharks. And I've had more and more people start texting me, you know, asking about the Sharks. That wasn't happening, you know, a couple weeks ago, but now the recent exploits from Mac and Will and so forth have got everybody tuning in. All right, we are out of time. Remember, late one tonight, pregame 7:30, go time 8, Sharks Audio Network as San Jose plays host to the LA Kings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.